Well, good morning, God bless each one of you, the master teacher. There is nobody that can teach like Christ could. And his life is a tremendous example. Look back in Deuteronomy, Moses, telling the children of Israel. We noted the verse on the brochure. I would like to read Deuteronomy 6, verse 3-9. This is Moses exhorting Israel to hear God. It says in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as one between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate." Now that sounds like full-time teaching. Teaching all the time. It just sounds like a life of teaching, but that foundation must be there. That mama and daddy need to know the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their might. I would like to read out of John chapter 10, thinking about Jesus Christ, the master teacher. And John chapter 10 has some beautiful scriptures that show a little bit the heart of Christ. For sake of time, I will be just reading portions of chapter 10. I will begin and I'll read in verse 7 of John chapter 10, talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus was talking to the disciples. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but were to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is in hiding, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is in hiding, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And then the next couple of verses, there was the division. But I go on to verse 27 and verse 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they should never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So Christ is saying, "I am the door." Jesus Christ is the only way to God. We go through many doors in life. But Jesus says, I am the only way. This is the only way that we can even raise a family for God is if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then it talks about how he came to give light, not just light, but in abundant light. So when Christ is in us, as parents and youth, everybody, when Christ is in us, light is coming out of us. It comes out from us to others. Christ's teaching was very redemptive. God wants to teach us what we need, not what we want. And we need to do that with our children. We need to teach them what they need and not always what they want. And then it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, how he cares for the sheep. And one of the interesting things about Christ is that he laid down his life for the sheep. And I believe we as parents need to be willing to lay down our life for our family. And that could be, it could cost me some of my personal hobbies. It could cost me, I might not make as much money on the job, or I might, some of my personal things that I enjoy. There's a thing that I can lay down so that my children can have more spiritual life. What are we willing to lay down for our children? And then verse 14 goes Robert Matam talked earlier about connection. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of mine. There's a relationship. The good shepherd knows his sheep and he is known of them. And I believe that we can learn from that we want to know our children and be known of them. We must have a connection. And one very important part of that our, there's an aspect that we as parents can do, but children also have the truth. We cannot thrust them into the kingdom of God, but we can be a tremendous example by the help of God to help pave the way for them to enter into the kingdom. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus Christ is the master teacher. He was the best example to follow. As a rabbi, he was faithfully teaching every day. And if you think about it, people that are teachers, they tend to have one method of teaching. And that's fine. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. But if you look at the life of Christ, he had tremendous variety of methods of teaching. His teaching wasn't just one way of teaching, but his whole life was teaching. And when I try to go through the different ways that Christ taught. And then we have the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7, which he taught by mouth. In the last verse of chapter 7 of Matthew, at the very end, after Christ had done talking, he told them the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:28-29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine, but he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. So Jesus taught Matthew at the Sermon on the Mount. That was doctrinal. He taught in having authority. And I believe that when we share the word of God, it is with authority. I don't have authority of myself, but then Jesus Christ is our authority. And the scripture, Jesus went straight to the heart. I mean, he had such a nice way of doing that. And we will also see some of Christ's examples of how he related. But Jesus often went to the root. Like in Matthew 5, Jesus said, you have heard that thou shalt not commit adultery. which is that, but I say unto you, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. So he went to the heart, not just the outward act, but he went deep. And it's also in the Sermon on the Mount where he talked about how it talks about how a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And talks about how we should know by a root. The fruit must come from a root. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 12. I'll just read a verse about root come from a root. Matthew chapter 12, 33-37. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you be evil, speak good things? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. The fruit comes from a root. Out of the treasure of a heart comes out, resting there. So Christ taught about that. And another thing Jesus taught by was parable. And why did Jesus teach by parable? He often taught by parables, the parable of the sower. He taught to show up the mystery of the kingdom of God. I don't know if you thought about it the first time at the time here. That was actually a parable about the boat going to get the diamond, and then came back with a bunch of onions. They ended up rotting. But Jesus actually used parable. It's a story to illustrate a truth, a deep mystery. Sometimes it is easier to explain what we want our family or anybody to learn by speaking in parable. And that was one method Christ taught. He used a parable. He taught him multiple parables. I'm going to go through the gospel and pick out a few things real quickly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. So Christ taught about that, and he also taught by parable. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, they meet this story in verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. The master teacher was compassionate, very compassionate. How many times when we have little children crying to us, did we tell them to be quiet? But really, they need compassion. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. It's another incident of compassion. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Christ saw people as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion and began to teach them. So the master teacher was very compassionate. We go to Mark chapter 10, and verse 13 through 16. This is the ending when the master teacher used an object lesson. Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children unto him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, but of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hand on them and blessed them. So Christ used an object lesson. The little children were coming, and the disciples tried to rebuke him, but Christ turned it around and used it as a lesson. Let the little children come unto me. We need to become like little children in order to be part of the kingdom. He also taught an object lesson with the coin, but he talked to them about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God. And we move on to Mark chapter 12. Read a couple of verses there. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through the end. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And she called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, but all they did cast in of the abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. This was simply an everyday happening. Quite new everyday happening. He noted this lady, this widow, the rich were casting piles of money, but this lady had two mites. But some Jesus used this as a lesson to teach the disciples that. But real sacrifices, real sacrifice. We can look at large amount of money given, if we think that's a great thing for God. And it can be. But God also sees what you sacrifice for him. And it was just an everyday lesson. Luke chapter 4 is a beautiful scripture of how Christ taught. Luke chapter 4. I'll just read the story of Jesus when he went to the synagogue and he opened the book of Isaiah and he read in verse 18. He read, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he goes on to say that he closed the book and told them that the scriptures were fulfilled. But note in verse 42, it says, And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said it not this Jesus' son. The master teacher taught graciously. And people noticed that it was graciously. He also taught by story asked by a question. I think too many times we underestimate the teaching power of questions, because questions make people think. We can just tell our children something, or we can ask them questions, and they might say the same answer, but they have to think it through, and so it becomes more of their heart. And the reference I have for that is in Luke 10, the parable of, it's actually a parable. People call it the parable of the Good Samaritan, but the Bible doesn't necessarily specifically say that. So I'll just call it the story of the Good Samaritan. He told the story, and I hope you all know it well, but then he asked the question, who of these three was a neighbor? And then the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go do thou likewise. It's really good. We can actually teach our children more by asking them a question rather than just simply stating the fact. So if you have a child and there was some misbehavior or something that needs to be corrected, if you would tell them, you should not do that, they might understand that. Or if you would ask them a question, is that kind? Is it kind? Is that what God would want you to do? And it makes them think, no, that was not kind. Or the question that a very good way, relate a story and followed by a question. Another method of Christ teaching was by humility. And we have the passage in John 13 where he washed his disciples' feet. He could have told his disciples, this is how you're supposed to do it. But Jesus Christ as the master, I mean, he was King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he bent down and washed the feet. A beautiful example of humility. And I think that's a very tangible way of teaching. It teaches our children in everyday life humility. Teach them to open the door. Let somebody in. Teach them to say, excuse me. Teach them, show them how to be good sports in the game. Teach them humility by don't tell them what to do, but exemplify in your own life how they are to do, and Christ did very well with that. He taught by example. And also another part that Christ taught by was by warning. And that part of our teaching too, we need to warn. He taught against the warning of wealth, what wealth could do to the heart. He also taught against the loving of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, basically false doctrine. So there was warning in here. And there are scriptures for that. So when we think about all this, we would consider all the different ways and methods that the master teacher taught. We begin to see the big picture. It was full-time teaching. He taught about doctrine. He taught with parable. He had compassion. He taught with object lesson. He taught this in everyday happening. He taught with gracious words. He told stories and asked questions. He taught by example and by warning. So the picture I get in my mind, his whole life is about teaching. Not just one method, but just a way of life. There's a time in all of this, we don't think about it, but his disciples were with him the whole time. And all of this, more or less, the disciples. And that's how we all parents, we have our children with us. And they're actually our disciples. Are we raising them as disciples of Christ? They are continuing with us. and they are being taught by it. It's the only spiritual and character building that our children hear, like the only good teaching they hear is at Sunday school, then something is wrong with our teaching program. Now take me right, Sunday school is a very valuable part of teaching. I'm very thankful for that. But the pattern of Christ showed the constant teaching. Sometimes using intentional teaching like doctrinal, sometimes just by everyday happening to teach your children truth. Teaching has to be done over and over. Because children don't always get the correct concept right away. I told several of you all a joke by the fire the other night about the Sunday school teacher that was telling the story about Lot's wife. And the teacher was telling the children how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And the little boy raises his hand, and the teacher said, "Yes, Johnny." And Johnny said, "One time my mama was driving, and she looked back and turned into a telephone pole." And so there was something missing in that theology there. So that is why we have to cut teeth over and over to make sure they grab the correct concept. It's not really fair to expect the children to learn something one time. A teacher needs to be constant. It's important to answer the question honestly. And I've been, but children can actually expose some of our false doctrine, if you want to put it that way. Like, take your children to the local feed store. Take them with you. Like, sometimes you can leave them at home, yeah, but take them with you. But at the same time, it puts a responsibility on you that when you see something evil, are you going to just ignore it, or are you going to use, and if your child notices it, are you going to use that opportunity to tell them that this is not what God wants you to do? Use the experiences. It's our responsibility to teach our children properly. How many of you have been to the beach? Like the East Coast and the West Coast, okay? One thing that you often see at the beach is the seagull. The bird that fly. Some people throw popcorn to feed the seagull. Well, there's a joke about how a mama and her son were walking along the beach, and there were seagulls flying around, and there was beautiful water, everything was nice. But all of a sudden, they came on a dead seagull, a bird that was dead. And the little boy says, "Mama, what happened?" And Mama said, "The bird died and went to heaven." And the little boy was like, "But why did God throw him back?" So we have to be careful what we're teaching. Like the mom told the son that the seagull died and went to heaven, but the bird, like, that thing's not in heaven. It's right here on earth. You thought, well, maybe God just bring him back to earth. So our teaching needs to be accurate. We need to teach our children properly. And it's actually good if we allow our children to answer questions, because they help expose some of what we're teaching them. The questions make it think about what we're teaching. And it's a challenge for us as parents. We don't have all the answers, but God does. that we need to be a consistent followers of Christ, to go back to God and asking God for wisdom. And that can be done. We can go to God's word, we can pray, and we can seek the advice of other Christians. That is so much better than thinking I've got all the answers. Because we, none of us have all the answers. When we as parents truly learn the Lord with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our might, it puts us in an excellent position to teach our children in a Christ-like way. Very redemptive for the good, for the kingdom of God. A final scripture I would like to read is John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 22. And Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. And verse 15 of John 21 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than thee?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lamb.' He saith to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt thrust forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.' This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, 'Follow me.' Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, was also leaning on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Jesus asked Simon Peter three times, Did you love me? And Peter was like, Yes, I do. And he said, But feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Our children are our lamb, our sheep being. And then he prophesied how Peter was going to die. Peter died by crucifixion. But then Peter goes and says, Well, what about this man? What about God? And Jesus says, No. What is that to be? You follow me. And sometimes when we feel the call of God in our lives, sometimes we wonder, well, what about this person? What about that person? No. The call of God is personal. You follow me, regardless of what others do. So my encouragement to you all is to love the Lord. That man, love the Lord. Raise our children for God. Life is short. This is our only chance to live with Jesus Christ on the earth. Our opportunity will soon be over. Cultivate a vision for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is eternal. All the other things will perish. All earthly things will go to nothing, but the soul of our children and all of mankind will live forever. On and on and on and on. So where do we want to embark? If we look at the pattern of Christ, the variety of his teaching, he cared about the hurt and souls of men. And we need to care about the hurt and souls of our children. So as we go on in life, don't be so worried about, maybe we don't need to be too worried about having the perfect teaching program, as we need to be a sincere follower of Christ, using everyday things to teach our children lessons of life. Get that dollar hand. Let's stand for a word of prayer.